some kind of trial or trouble you're going through right now, come on, talk to me. All of us have trials and troubles. How many got a trial? Let me see your hand. Those that didn't raise their hand, how long you been lying? You know you're going through some kind of trial or some kind of trouble. We all have them.
Adam had them.
We all have troubles and trials. Your trial might be a physical trial. It might be financial. You might be in debt. Your trial might be job-related. It might be relationally oriented. I don't know exactly what kind of trouble or trial you've got, but I know the Lord has been speaking to my heart this week to share a message today concerning the title, Triumphant Over Troubles and Trials. That's the title, Katie and Janet. Triumphant Over Troubles and Trials. We all have troubles. We all have trials. The question is, how do we deal with the troubles and trials in which we're going through? And, you know, I heard about a mother, by the way, speaking of troubles and trials, that she was taking care of her little 4-year-old daughter, and she had the ketchup bottle and was trying to get ketchup. Have you ever had a ketchup bottle and couldn't get the ketchup out of it? I remember those days, certainly. She had a ketchup bottle and was beating on that bottle trying to get the ketchup out. And about that time, the telephone rang, and her little girl ran and answered the telephone. And the little girl said, hello, 4-year-old girl. And lady on the other end said, is your mama there? She said, yes, ma'am, she's here. She said, can I speak with her? She said, the little girl said, no, ma'am. She said, why not? And she said, mama's hitting on the bottle. Mama's hitting on the bottle. She got it wrong a little bit. She meant mama is not hitting on the bottle. But anyway, trials and troubles, sometimes we say the wrong thing. I heard about a little girl that came home from school one day. And this little girl said to her mama, mama said, what'd you learn at school today? The little girl said, I learned how to make babies. She said, what? This little girl was only 5 years old. You did what? And she said, I learned how to make babies. She said, oh, no, what am I going to do? I better go get daddy on this. And she went, and then the little girl said, mama. And her mama said, what do you mean make babies? And the little girl said, you drop the Y and add I-E-S, babies. Y'all will get it later, amen. Troubles and trials. But really speaking of troubles and trials, I'll tell you a true story. How many of you knew that Bernice McGee is with the Lord now? Anyway, her daughter, Barbara, and I and Claude has sat down a few weeks ago and talked about her homegoing service. Have the privilege of being there today. And anyway, we also talked about her wishes as to where she wanted to be buried and all of that, the whole 9 yards, the service and everything. Well, how many of you knew that she had gotten and I hope I get the story right, she had gotten a grave lot, we might call it a plot, but a lot as to where she was going to be buried. But lo and behold, she got that and paid the money for it a number of years ago. But it come time for her to use this grave lot or plot, if you will. Come to find out, they had sold the plot to somebody else. And she did not have a grave lot where she had already paid for it. Well, the funeral home said to them, said, well, what we'll do is we'll sell you another grave lot or grave plot. But the trouble with it was that somebody else had gotten hers and all of that. But they were going to charge them, best I can remember, is almost 4 times the amount that she paid for that grave lot. Well, long story short, the news media got involved. Next thing you know, it's on CBS, NBC, and ABC. Barbara said, that's just great. Now everybody in the world knows where mama's going to be buried. Everybody in the world. I didn't see it. How many of you saw that? A few of you saw it. Anyway, troubles and trials. We have troubles and trials. We sing that song. I thought about it a minute ago when we were singing. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But we're trusting in the Lord, and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. By way of introduction, I want to tell you the background and the burden of the message. I've never preached from this book of the Bible a whole message, the book of Zephaniah. Triumphant over troubles and trials. And here's where we're going in the message today. Three steps that I believe you can take and I can take. I don't know about y'all, but I've got troubles and trials all the time. This week's no exception. Matter of fact, this week I think I've had more troubles and trials than I have in a long time. Maybe that's why God's got me to share the message. Because maybe some of you are discouraged today. And maybe some of you are down. Maybe you just feel like giving up. But there are three steps that I believe the Lord wants us to take. If we're going to look in the book of the Word of God, the book of Zephaniah. Three steps, and here they are. Number one, the first step is we can go to Jesus and ask Him for His perfect peace and His assuring presence because He is in control. And then there's a second step we'll see in the Scripture in a moment. And that's not only go to Jesus and ask Him for His perfect peace and His assuring presence because He's in control. But number two, we can trust in the Lord Jesus. We can trust Him, that's right, for He being our security and He being not only our security but our strength because He said He'd be with us. He said He'd be in us. He said He would be over us. We'll see that in a moment. But there's a third step that I believe you can take and I can take today. And we can triumphant over our trials. And because trials have a way of carrying you under. And some of you today, you know what I'm talking about. You've been discouraged and you've been depressed. I talked with a lady last night at the funeral home that said she'd been depressed for years. I may share a little bit more about that. But for right now, there's a third step and that is this. Thirdly, there's another step you can take and I can take to be triumphant over our troubles and trials. And it's this, namely, not only do we go to Jesus and ask Him for His perfect peace. You're writing this down? And His assuring presence because He's in control. But we can also trust Him to be our strength and our security because He's with us. He's in us. He's over us. We'll see that in a moment. Number three, we can rest in His acceptance and His affirmation because of His great love. Are you in Zephaniah? If you are, say amen. Stand to your feet. Zephaniah now. It's going to take you a little while to find it. Zephaniah. Not Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 3. Look with me please in the Old Testament book. Zephaniah chapter 3. And hold your Bibles open. Let me just give you a little background and the burden of the message as we turn to the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah, when you have it, hold your Bible up. Make sure you got it. It's a book in there, I'll assure you, it's in there. Here is the background of this book, and I'll swiftly run through it to get us to chapter 3. Zephaniah is a minor prophet, really there's nothing minor about him, but nonetheless is writing concerning the judgment that God Almighty was going to vindicate upon the southern kingdom of Judah. And so the message in Zephaniah chapter 1 is the day of the Lord. That's a theme throughout the book of Zephaniah. The day of the Lord. The day of the Lord. That is the coming of the judgment of God. I believe that the Lord certainly is already judging America. You believe that? But I believe God's going to judge more as we continue to stray away from Him. But in the midst of His judgment, I like this. Chapter 3 describes there's hope in the Lord. And there's a message of blessings. And the message is not only is God going to judge, but thank God He's going to bless. So nonetheless, they were going through trial, the children of Israel. And I realize, and as we read the text today, I realize this is directly to the nation of Israel. And these promises are meant for the Jewish people. However, at the same time, we can derive some spiritual truths as secondary meanings to the text. All right, we'll read in the book of Zephaniah, chapter number 3. We began in verse 14. If you're there, say amen. And really our text comes from verse 15, 16, 17, and then 20. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout, O Israel, be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. Underline that. The King of Israel, even the Lord, is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem. Underline this. Fear thou not. And to Zion, let not thine hands be slack. really underline verse 17. The Lord thy God, notice when it says in and over and with, all this in verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. And then verse 18. I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly, who are of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, at that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth, and gather her that was driven out, and I will give them praise and fame in every land where they have been put to shame. God promises to bring his people. We call it an aliyah. He's going to bring his people back to their land. Things are shaping up right now, by the way, in the Middle East. Look at verse 20. At that time would I bring you again, even in the time that I gather you. For I will make you a name and a praise among all people of the earth when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, saith the Lord. This is the word of God, and all God's people said. Father, I thank you now for the word of God speaks to my heart. Lord, I bless you for your presence. I bless you, Jesus, for just, Lord, having me to wait upon you most of the night. Just so glorious, Lord, to be in your presence. And I pray now, Spirit of the living God, give us ears and hearts and eyes and wills that are subdued toward yours. We pray now in the name of Jesus, every demon out of hell would be bound from this place. We declare Jesus, Iesu, is Kyrios, is Lord. Thank you now for, Lord, speaking and working. God, I pray now that you'll help us to examine where we're at with you. Lord, I thank you now even for the trials and the troubles. And Father, we trust you, God, to just lift up the depression, lift up the discouragement, and God, break through our hearts to refresh us and renew us and help us, precious Lord, to keep our eyes on you. I thank you now for the cleansing blood of the Lamb and the power of the cross. I thank you, Father, that, Lord, without you we can do nothing, but with you we can do all things. So, Father, just give us again a revelation of who you are, what you're up to in our life, what you want to do in your church, what you want to do in our families, what you want to do in our personal lives. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I pray, Lord, you'll give us grace to remove every and all distraction, everything that's on our mind about today, about yesterday, about anything else. I pray, Spirit of the living God, you'll give us an audience with you. And Lord, help us, dear God, when all said and done, Father, to apply the truth of your word. To not just hear it, but do it. And Lord, we're trusting you that you'll get glory and honor. We thank you now. I bless you now for what you're going to do. Changing lives, saving souls. And Father God, lifting us up from glory to glory and from faith to faith. Lord Jesus, we yield to you and thank you now for every blood-bought, blood-washed child of God. I pray, Father, there's somebody here that's not ready to meet you. God, in the name of Jesus, you'll knock on their heart. You'll draw them by irresistible cords of Calvary's love. And Father God, you'll give them grace to repent, to turn. And Father, those of us that have tasted of your grace and experienced your peace. And Father, we desire to walk in the light as you're in the light. But Lord, these troubles and trials, they just come in on us. But God, we thank you again that there's victory in Jesus. So Lord, just be glorified, we pray. And thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen and amen. You may be seated. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verses 14 through 20. Here's the first step. If we want to be triumphant over trials and troubles, number one, we can go to Jesus and ask him for his peace, his perfect peace, mind you, and his assuring presence. Where we get that from? Go back to verse number 15. And there are two thoughts coming from the text. Number one, and the thought is this, perfect peace and His assuring presence. For number one, to overcome the enemy. And then number two, if you're one of those that like to take notes, the second part under this first heading is not only perfect peace and assuring presence. Oh, brother and sister, listen to me. We're all going through trials and troubles, but to have God's peace and to have that assuring presence of God, money can't buy that and the world can't give that. But not only over the enemy. How many have been under the attack of the enemy this week? I got several messages yesterday. Somebody sent me a message, said, man, I've been under the attack of the enemy all week long. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand it, folks. It seems like all hell is being unleashed on the blood-bought, blood-washed church and upon the body of Christ, upon New Rocky Creek, upon our families. And it's time that we wake up and stand up and thank God, dress up and say, devil, you got to get behind me. Is there anybody here that would be strong enough and brave enough and courageous enough to say, Satan, you are a liar. You got to get behind me. Number one, listen to me. Number one, and I believe some of us, we've been passive long enough. We've been cowing down to the demons of hell long enough. We've been letting the enemy come in like a flood and deceive us. And we've been letting the enemy put and hamper us with discouragement, depression, and things that we can't control. And today I'm praying God Almighty, He will break through our minds and our hearts and help us to take a stand, having done all to stand. And I'm believing God's going to do it for His glory. Number one, we can ask Jesus to give us victory over the enemy. That's found in verse 15. Number two, not only victory over the enemy, but number two, to calm, watch this, to calm our fears. How many of you have been afraid this week? Come on, tell me the truth. Don't sit in church and lie. Don't sit there like you hadn't been afraid. Don't sit there like you hadn't been insecure. You know that that old flesh is insecure. And you don't know if you're going to make it through the day. You don't know if you're going to have enough money. You're not sure about the future. Insecurities. But listen to me. We can pray, thanks be to God, and say, Lord, You are my security. And not only overcome the enemy, but calm our fears. Look at verse 15 and verse 16. The Lord hath taken away thy judgments. He hath cast out thine enemy. There it is. He hath cast out thine enemy. Hey, listen to me. He's cast out thine enemy. That is, God was saying in the context of this particular book that the Assyrians, the Babylonians, their time would run out. The enemy would run out. And He said, indeed, that their time would run out. Look at it. Cast out thine enemy. And then not only that, but look at verse 16. He said another truth, and we'll come back to that in a moment. Verse 15. In that day it should be said to Jerusalem. Look at this. Fear thou not, and to Zion, let not thy hands be slack. Is there anybody here that's been afraid? I believe some of us here today, the devil's been coming in and like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Don't be afraid. What are you afraid of? I don't know what situation you're in today, but I know this. Fear is real. And so let's go back to verse 15. Number one, that we can pray and ask God to give us victory over the enemy. Victory over the enemy. The Word of God says the devil, indeed, as 1 Peter 5:8, walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The Scripture says, Jesus said to Peter, Peter, Simon, Simon, Satan hath the desire to sift you as wheat, but I pray for you that your strength fail not. And when you're converted, strengthen the brethren. The Word of God teaches that the devil, the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, the enemy will transform himself in an angel of light. How many know that the devil's a liar? How many know that the devil's lying to you? Come on, talk to me. He's lying to you. I know he's lying to you. He's lying to us. He's a liar. You need to see him for who he is. How many young people today hear voices? How many young people today hear voices? You don't know what the voice you're listening to. All kinds of voices out there. All kinds of voices. It's time that you learn and discern, not even just young people, but older people too, hearing all kinds of voices and not knowing what they are and who they're from. But God says, He said, you can triumph over the trials and troubles because as we go to Him and pray, oh God, give us Your perfect peace. How many today are going to play games and you're going to act like you don't have any troubles? You're going to leave the church today just like you came in, with troubles on your shoulder, troubles on your mind, troubles in your family. And instead of dealing with it the spiritual way, you're going to go and take some pills or go and drink something maybe you shouldn't drink. Or you're going to just act like it's not there instead of going to Jesus and saying, Jesus, give me Your perfect peace. I need You. You're mighty to save. Look at verse 17. Verse 17 says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. I'm going to believe that God is mighty. He's mightier than our problems. He's mightier than our fears. He's stronger than the devil. I know the devil's strong, but wait a minute. Jesus is stronger than the devil. He's stronger than any demon of hell. He's mighty to give us victory over the enemy. Listen to me. The last time I read it was in the Bible, where the Word of God says, the God of peace shall shortly bruise Satan under your heels. Romans chapter 16 and verse number 20. And then Revelation chapter 12 and verse number 11. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. Listen to me, folks. I'm not talking about fairy tales. I'm not talking about Hollywood. I'm talking about reality of the Bible, a spiritual world. Y'all look at me. If you're not saved today, I want you to know the devil would love nothing more than to ruin your testimony. And he's going to do everything he can to get you angry, to get you upset, to get you fearful, to get you in the flesh. And that dirty devil, he is a dirty devil. We need to see him who he is. And we need to say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, as James said, submit to God and then resist the devil and he'll flee from us. Some of you are not resisting the devil. Why not? Don't you give in to that dirty devil. Don't you just let him play havoc on your mind. Oh yeah, if he gets your mind, he's got you. He's got you if he's got your mind. You know where those thoughts are coming from. You can get down on your knees and start praying, and all of a sudden, these wicked thoughts can come to your mind. You know what I'm talking about. You know where it's coming from. And we need to say, Father, I recognize this thought is not from You. This thought is from Satan, and I ask You to remove it in the name of Jesus. You ought to sit there acting like you don't know what I'm talking about, but you know exactly what I'm talking about. And some of us, the enemy has been harassing us. The enemy has been robbing us of victory. And God's got a message on our heart today to share with you that we need to get right with God, and we need to cry out to God for God to give us peace. God to give us His assuring presence. Lord, I need You. I need You. I need You. I know I'm preaching to somebody today. I know I'm preaching to a lot of people today. You know exactly what I'm talking about today because you've been through it just like I've been through it this week. Hello. And when all said and done, thank God, God will give you the victory. I asked Sister Bernice McGee, who's with the Lord now. I said, Sister Bernice, we were sitting around the table about a month ago. I said, are you ready to meet God? She said, I'm ready. I'm ready. She said, Pastor, I really don't want to die. She said, I really would like to live. But she said, if it's my time, the will of God be done. And then I asked her, I said, well, Sister Bernice, as she and Claude and I were sitting at a table just talking, and I'm telling you, we don't know how much more time we've got. We've got to live each day like we're dying. Live like you're dying. I know there's not an urgency in your heart. I know that we get kind of casual and we just kind of get complacent about stuff going on. And we start doing this and that and get our eyes off of Jesus if we're not careful in spiritual things. But then the reality strikes us again. Listen, I said, Bernice, are you ready to go? Have you made peace with God? The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 5:1. Here's what she said. She said, I got things right a long time ago. I said, really? Tell me about it. She said, well, I was about 6 years old. She said, back in those days, we went to church. And she said, that was a long time ago. But then she looked at me. She said, but Pastor, you need to know, in those days, I got saved about 1,000 times. Anybody know what I'm talking about? In those days, here's what she said. She said, back in those days, if you did something wrong, you just got saved again. She said, we didn't know any better. You just kept getting saved. And I want you to know, we laugh at that, but really there's a lot of people today that think the same thing. And there might be somebody you today that's saying, you know, I'm not sure if I'm going to heaven or not. I've got doubts about my salvation. I'm not really sure. I've got good news for you. You can know. You can know, you can know, because God says you can know. And if there wasn't a change in your life when you said you were saved, chances are you might not be saved. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I know my child of God because God chastises those he loves. And you see, when we disobey God, if he's not chastising you, then you're not a child of God, according to Hebrews chapter 12. But Bernice went on to say, she said, it was 1975 when the defining moment came. She said, Mama died, and it was that year that there was a real change wrought in my heart. Tell me, has there been a change in your heart? Tell me, have you just joined the church? Tell me, have you just been baptized? Tell me, have there ever been a point in time in your life when you face death? Are you ready to meet God? Do you know that you know that you know? Well, praise God, she said, I know that I know that I know, and I'm ready to meet the Lord. And so, number one, we can ask the Lord to give us peace, his perfect peace, his assuring presence, because he is in control. How many believe that God's in control? You see, you're going through stuff, and I'm going through stuff in my life right now. If you ever, hear me, if you ever lose sight of the fact that God is in control, you will go, and I will go, in a tailspin of distrust. But if you realize God Almighty is in control, and there's nothing that can happen to a child of God that God won't permit or allow, and there's nothing that can happen to a child of God that God won't use for our good. That's the Bible, folks. But we this is what we do. When something comes our way, some trouble or trial, we just throw up our hands, we have a fit, we act like God's dead, we act like, well, what, God, I'm better than, why should I go through this? Jesus went through trials. Are you any better than Jesus? Am I any better than Jesus? Matter of fact, Hebrews 5 and 8 says, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience to the things he suffered. This old life is not free of suffering and pain and hardship and affliction. And Paul said to Timothy, and your hardness is a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I'd rather not have troubles. I'd rather not have trials. But I got good news for you. In the midst of troubles and trials, there can be triumph. I said there can be triumph. And some of us are acting like our God's dead. And some of us are whining about this and that. And some of us are moaning and groaning about, why am I having to do this and what's going on here? And that's our nature. And God wants us to repent over that today. God wants us to have a change of heart. Lord, I'm sorry for doubting that you are sovereign. Lord, I'm sorry for believing that what I'm going through, you don't know anything about. And Lord, I've taken my eyes off of you, Father, and I need your perfect peace. Isaiah 23, chapter 26, verse 3 and 4 says, will thou not keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee? Trust in the Lord, from the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Hey, listen to me. I know the problem is you've heard this before, but the problem is we're not obeying what God tells us to do. That's the problem. We're just hearing the word and not doing it. Oh, we can tell us, I know I don't need to be afraid. But the problem is, are we bent and subdued? Are we conquered? Are we willing to yield? Are we willing to say, Lord, I know this is not the normal Christian life for me to be troubled. I know this is not the normal Christian life for me to be worried. I know this is not the normal Christian life for me to be overcome with fear and insecurity. And I'm preaching to somebody today. You know you've been living that way. You know you've been living that way. Good news. You don't have to keep living that way. Because Jesus said, I come to give you life and give it more abundantly. Overcoming the enemy. Overcoming fear. Praise God. Is there anybody here today that you're insecure? You feel insecure. And all it takes is one little thing to cause you to go in a tailspin. You just let the stock market go this way. You just let your automobile tear up. You just let something go wrong and it throws us for a tailspin. We all of a sudden start fretting and fuming and we start worrying and being fearful over things sometimes we can't control. God says, cast your burden on the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. I'm talking about Bible here. I'm talking about the normal Christian life. I'm talking about Christianity fleshed out. Not just religion. Not just saying, I know God, I'm going to sing about God up here. But in my life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, I'm going to live like the world and worry about stuff and be insecure and fearful. That's hypocrisy, friend. And God doesn't want us to live a hypocritical type of life. He wants us to be real, genuine with Him. I'm glad, thanks be to God, He's got our best interests in mind. Amen and amen and amen. And speaking of fear, Sister Bernice told me a story. I'll never forget it. She said her daddy needed a job. Is there anybody here that needs a job? Anybody here stressed out about your job? Anybody here got more demands on you? Like your family? Stuff going on? Children growing older? What about it? What about it? Oh yeah, we're all going through troubles and trials. But wait a minute. She said daddy had a need. Daddy needed a job. And she said, I'll never forget it. And here's what she told me. She said, Daddy went out in the woods to pray. How many believe it's a good thing to go out in the woods to pray? If you can't get peace and quiet in your home because the one-eyed monster's running or all the noise, get with God somewhere, amen. Get with the Lord and listen to Him. She said, Daddy went out into the woods and prayed. You know what he prayed? He prayed for a job. How many believe that's a good idea to pray for a job? Telling you, folks, in the yesteryears, they seemed to trust God, it seemed like, more than some of us do in these years. I don't understand that. But I guess we put our dependence on machinery and computers and sophistication and intellects and all that stuff instead of God. Tell me about it. Come on. But wait a minute. She said he went out in the woods to pray. Guess what? She said, and I'm telling you what she told me. She said, Daddy knelt down by a log out there in the woods. He found a log and he knelt down by that log. He began to cry. She said he began to cry, literally cry, and asked God to meet this need for his family. She said, God be my witness. I heard it with my own ears. She said, God be my witness. God sent a man out in the woods. While he was praying, Daddy was praying out in the woods, and God sent a man out in the woods and asked him if he needed a job. She said, I was there. I know all about it. She said it was the best job he ever had. He worked with a railroad. How many believe that God does stuff like that? Listen, God's real. And I'm concerned that we limit him so much. Problems come up. Troubles come up. Trials come up. And rather than do what God wants us to do, we start trying to figure it out from the human finite mind. We start saying, well, let's see, if I do this, I'll do this. If I do this, I'll do this, and this, this, and this. Instead of really seeking God about it, praying about it, saying, Father, I don't know, and I'm not sure I understand, but God, you said you would give me perfect peace and assuring with your presence. Number one, go to Jesus. Three steps to triumphant over troubles and trials, to be triumphant. Number two, not only go to Jesus and ask Him for His perfect peace, but we'll see in a moment in verse 17, we can trust Jesus. That's right. See, that's the problem. We might go and pray about that thing, but we don't trust God about it. Can I get an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. We go to God, but then we don't trust Him about a certain thing. We say, oh, I prayed about it. Well, that's good. That's the first step. But the question is, are you trusting Him? Did you put it in His hands? Did you just say, well, God, this is my problem and that's it, and get up and leave? Or did you say, God, I got this problem. I don't know what it's all about. I can't figure it out. But Lord, I'm going to ask you for the grace to rely, to fully trust in you for your wisdom, for your guidance, for your will to be done in this situation. And Lord, I take my place on the cross, and I, listen to me, I want to reckon myself to be dead indeed unto sin. See, that's our problem. Listen to me, our problem is that we've already figured out what we want God to do, and we just want God to get on our plans. That's our problem. We've already figured out what's best and what we think, instead of saying, Lord, can I tell y'all something? You know it already. God sees the beginning and the end and everything in between. We don't. We're limited. Hey, how many have got eyes in the back of your head? None of us have eyes in the back of our head. God knows. We sing about it. We hear about it. But the fact is, we need to rely, totally depend upon Jesus, Lord. I pray, number two, that we not only go to Jesus and ask Him for His perfect peace and His assuring presence, because He's in control, but number two, trust in His strength. Trust in His strength and in His security, because He's with us, in us, and upon us, and over us. Look at verse number 17. Look at this. You've got to see it. And the Lord thy God in, circle that word in the midst of thee is mighty. Nobody to doubt that. He will save. Do you believe that? Well, is He going to save you in your situation right now? We say, yeah, I believe He'll save. But will He save you in your situation? Is He too small? Is He too weak? Is He deaf and He can't hear you praying? Is He a paralytic? Can He get up? What's your God going to do? Is He going to save you in your situation? And if He's not, why not? You're going to trust Him to do it? You're going to ask Him to do it? You're going to believe Him to do it? You're going to rely upon Him to do it? That's the real question. Lord, You're my strength and my security. Keep reading. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice, look at this, underline it, over thee with joy. Can you imagine God rejoicing over you and me with joy? How He does to His people and Israel in this case, but us in the New Testament. He will, look at this, He will rest in, notice, in His love. And another translation for rest means quiet. We're a troubled society. We're noisy and we're just, we have a hard time listening to God these days. We need to turn off some noise and tune out everything around us and start tuning into God. When's the last time you spent some time with the Lord in prayer, secret and alone, and you not only talk to the Lord, but you listen to Him? Have you gotten to the point where, and God teach me and help me to get to the point where I learn to listen to Him? Hey, how many know that God speaks to you? He will speak to you. He'll speak to His word. Y'all don't believe that. I'm telling you, He'll speak to you. He'll guide you. He'll show you stuff, problems ahead of time that if you wait on Him, if you trust Him, and He'll best of all, He'll get us lined up with His will. See, a lot of times, again, we're just human, and we're looking at stuff from a human perspective. We're wondering, why is this happening? Why am I going through this? And then we start the blame game about this and that, and if this wasn't that, and this and that, and the other. Next thing you know, we've muddied the water, and we don't realize that God is still on His throne, and that we're His children. And all of His children are going to as 1 Peter 4:12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, test you, as some strange thing that happened to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering. And Jesus, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2, verse 21, Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps. When He was reviled, He reviled not. When He suffered, He threatened not. But He committed Himself unto Him that judgeth righteously. And so, is Jesus really your security? Is your security in your bank account? Well, you just let that bank account start dwindling down. You'll see where your security really is. Is your security in your house? Or you can tell a lot about a person's security because when, watch this, when those things start being taken away from us, we have a fit. That shows that's our security. Instead of our security being the Lord, we put our security in sometimes our possession, sometimes in people. Sometimes in each other, sometimes in ourselves, rather than putting our security. Hey, watch this. I want to tell you there's some things that will not change, it cannot change, because God is a God who's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and His love will not change for us. His plan, His purpose for us will not change. And we'll go through a lot of seasons. There'll be a lot of seasons. Fall is around the corner. Things are happening in our life. Chapters in our life are being turned over and over again. Is Jesus really your strength? What do you do when you feel like you're getting discouraged? What do you do when you feel like you're getting depressed? What do you do when things aren't going the way you think they ought to go? What do you do? Do you trust in the Lord? Do you cast yourself upon the Lord? Do you put your weight upon Him? Do you say, Father, I can't, but You can? What do we do? Oh, there's triumph over troubles and trials, and there's strength and security when we feel alone. Look at this verse. Look at this verse 17 again. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will say, He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. How many today feel lonely? I want you to know, this day and time, we're going through transition, young people especially. I mean, you can't hardly go somewhere now in a restaurant or downtown, and I'm finding myself doing the same thing, glued to my phone. Somebody calling me, somebody texting me. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And regardless of whether it's right or wrong, that's not the issue. The issue is this. The issue is this. That our dependence, our trust, our strength's got to be in Jesus. We're not alone. We're not alone. And in our society, y'all see a great disconnect happening in our society? Do you see families sitting at the table now and they can't hardly talk because somebody's calling or sending a text message or the phone's ringing? Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? Our busyness, busy, busy, busy. We don't connect, it seems, anymore. Why? Because I'm convinced that this is one way that the enemy is disconnecting us as families and as church family too. So we're never alone. I like what one lady said. She said, I know I'm never alone. She said, I go to bed with Ben Gay. I wake up with Charlie Horse. I go to the table with Will Power. And I spend the day with arthritis. I'm never alone. I'm never alone. We're not alone. We're not alone. You might feel alone. Listen to me. You might feel alone, but you're not alone. I'm telling you, Jesus said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And in the original language, and that's Hebrews 13, verse 5, He says, I'll know never, no, never, no, never, no, never. Listen to me. You might not feel loved. You might not feel like somebody cares about you, but I want you to know, according to this book right here, the Lord cares over you and me more than anybody else cares over you and me. It's a relationship. It's not religion. It's a relationship with the God who wrote the Bible, who lives within us by His Holy Spirit. Do you have this relationship? Do you talk with Him on a daily basis? Do you ask Him what He thinks about this situation? Do you say, Lord, I'm not sure what I want to do about this? Some of you need guidance today. But if you're not careful, you're going to lean on the arm of flesh instead of bring it to the Lord. God, what do you think I'll do about this situation? I'm not sure, but I want to pray about it, Father, and I want to trust You, and I'm going to be purpose in my heart to wait until You lead me and You guide me. And so, security and strength, we're never alone. Security and strength, He's rejoicing over us. Can you imagine a God that would rejoice over you? Listen to me. Rejoice over you. We are trophies of His grace. That's right. This will change your perspective of God. Hear me. This will change your perspective of God. When you realize how much God loves you, how much God has invested in you, how much Jesus has paid for you and me, and yet it says He rejoices over us. I had read that before, that particular phrase. I've read over it, but it didn't really dawn on me. God rejoice over me? Hello, I don't feel worthy. How many know what I'm talking about? I don't feel worthy, but God said He's rejoicing over us. I don't understand it, not like I don't understand a whole lot of other things, but I believe the Bible, and the Bible says so. Bernice McGee, I asked her, we were talking in her house the other day, and we got on the subject of elect and election. Really, the word elect came up. And we were talking about that. Barbara was talking about, talking with a friend about this word elect. And somehow or another, I got involved in the conversation. She said, what do you think about the word elect? We were just kind of carrying on casual conversation. And how many know that's dangerous to ask Brother Pastor, what do you think about elect? I said, well, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I do believe this. The word elect is electos. It means picked out or chosen. I believe we're picked out and chosen according to the book of Ephesians, according to the book of Peter, make sure you're calling an election, sure. And I believe this, and here I was telling Barbara this, hang with me. I was telling her about the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. God is sovereign. It's like a railroad track going parallel, but they don't absolutely meet. But a train has to go over both of them, the sovereignty of God and the free will of man. And how we can debate it and talk about it and look at it from 20 different angles and sometimes not realize we're saying the same thing. Bottom line, it's like Spurgeon used to say, it's like a door that says, whosoever will, let him come. And then when he goes through the door, he looks on the backside and says, chosen before the foundation of the world. Anyway, I said all that to say this. I went into detail for about 15 minutes talking about elect and election. And then Bernice is sitting over there in her chair. It's a big chair. She's just relaxing. It's about a week ago. And we were talking about it. Brother Claude was there and Barbara was there. And I looked over at Bernice and I said, because we're kind of getting different conversations. And I said, what do you think about this, Bernice? And she studies her Bible, by the way. And she's a woman of prayer. She prayed. Here's what she said. I'll never forget it. She said, she had her eyes closed. She said, I don't know. She said something like, I'm not really sure about all that, but she says, all I know is this. I don't care how high you shout, or how high you jump, or how loud you shout, as long as when you hit the ground, you walk straight. That was profound. I said, amen. There's a third step that we can take today. Triumphant over trials. Here's what I fear, beloved. Listen to me. I'm saying this in all the love I know. I'm afraid that we've sat in church so long, we've heard so many messages, we turn to our Bible, we hear something, and it just processes, I've heard that before. And for some reason or another, we're caught. We're bogged down in not diving deeper, not going further, not being teachable, leadable, discipled in the Lord. There's some hang-ups we all have. And there's some things that our thought processes hang us up when we hear the truth of God's Word. I don't know if it's sometimes we don't really know what to do, or for some reason we excuse what we're going through, whatever. I don't know. I don't understand it, but I know this. The Holy Spirit of God will take the truth of God today and He'll bless you with it. There's a third step, and it's this, namely, and I'll be done. Not only should we go and ask Jesus to give us His perfect peace, His assuring presence, because He is in control, then we should trust Him for His strength, His security, because He's over us, He's in us, He's with us. We read that. And then last but not least, we can rest. We can rest in His acceptance, hallelujah, and His affirmation because of His great love. Look at verse 17 one more time. Verse 17. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. The Lord will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest. He will rest. That word rest in some translation is quiet. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. You see, we can be triumphant over trials. And rest in His love. Today, tell me. That's the greatest need everybody has, is for love. Whether you want to admit it or not, the greatest need is for love. I talked with a lady last night. She said she was depressed. She said she'd been depressed for years. I said, okay. We were standing there, and anyway, at the funeral home. And long story short, I just asked a few questions. And since there were some needs. And next thing you know, it was very obvious why she was depressed. And I just, the Lord just moved on my heart to begin to share with her about the truth of God's Word. And the love of God. Tell me. Have you received the love of God? Can you just thank Him for His love right now? Hey, listen, you don't have to earn it. He's not asking you to try to earn it. That's our problem. We want to work for it. We want to have some part in it. He says it's just His grace. We just thank Him for His love. We just bask in His presence. Listen to me. A lot of us today feel rejected. You know why? Rejection is the absence of meaningful love. And this particular person I was talking with last night told me, said, in our home, we never hugged, we never affirmed, we never embraced. And so maybe you went through a home like that. And that doesn't mean that you're depressed, but it means this. You've got a great need to be loved. And I want you to know God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There's nothing like the love the Father has for us. We sang it a moment ago. Do you rest in His love? Do you thank Him for His love? And then, last but not least, we can go to our Father and say, Father, I want to rest and I want to be faithful to the finish. Listen to me. Trials and troubles here below, it's not going to last forever. It's just going to pass over. These clouds are going to pass over. They're going to pass over. I know it don't seem like it. I know it seems like, am I going to ever get out of this trial? It's going to pass over. And many of us know how brief life is.
Amen.
Are you going to say, Father, I'm not going to let the troubles and trials steal my intimacy with you. I'm not going to let stuff happening to me make me bitter and sour. That's what happens to a lot of people. We get bitter and sour when we go through troubles and trials. I don't know about y'all, but I do. If I'm not careful, I get bitter. I start getting a bad attitude. Can I get an amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. And some of the day, you've got a bad attitude. I don't know about y'all, but I got to go to the Lord on a constant basis and say, Father, I'm developing a bad attitude. I can feel it coming on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Come on. Get a bad attitude instead of finishing faithful. That ought to be our prayer. Is God, I know you saved me. You love me. We gather around the bedside. I got the call on Thursday night. I headed over to McDonough, had been there Monday and Wednesday of last week with the family. I walked into the room, the hospice care in McDonough. There was a family that were in the room. And as we gathered around the bedside, Sister Bernice McGee was finishing her course. It was about 10 o'clock, a little before 10 when I got there. We gathered around, we held hands, and we prayed. And as we prayed, when we said amen, she took her last breath and was gone. Gone to be with the Lord. Now, I never did hear Bernice say God wasn't fair. I never did hear Bernice say negative things about God. I'm not saying that she didn't struggle with the flesh, but I'm saying this. She finished faithful. Don't you want to finish faithful? See, when all said and done, all these troubles and trials here on earth, we feel like they're mountains right now. But they're not. They're going to pass. Standing before Jesus is the main thing. Let's stand together.